Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours if you choose to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for Black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. So tonight's show, brothers and sisters, is the separation Q&A panel discussion. This is a show where we discuss current events, answer questions, and we discuss and answer questions pertaining to last week's show. If you recall, our last week's show was the mathematics of movement. Our physical relocation task force interviewed Dr. Rishley Mumin Muhammad on his tool that's in his book, Commonomics, the tool that's used whether you should choose to separate or not. Have you had a chance to get his book? Do you have the tool? Are you considering relocating, or better yet, separating? Because separating is not relocation. It's two different things. If you're considering separating to join on with to build a community, have you used this tool? Are you considering this tool? Well, fortunately, if you have questions about the tool or anything else that may be in his book, Commonomics 1, he'll be on the show. In fact, I'm going to open his mic right now Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Vigili.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sir?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Oh, I'm fine.
Yes, sir. You just got back from Chicago, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I sure did. Yesterday.
Yes.
I'm just trying to catch up with stuff now.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can. Is it going in and out or what?
Just a little bit, but I can understand you just fine, though. It'll probably, it'll get better.
Okay. All right. So, you got any questions for me on that from last week, or is anybody else online? I know Sister Majida, and she's traveling, right?
Yes, sir. She's in out the state visiting her father, and she'll be there for a while. So she, I believe she may have just landed, so she may get on, but I'm not gonna wait for her. If she gets on, praise be to Allah. But yes, sir. So we had an excellent show last week on the mathematics movement. I thought it was pretty important to discuss and make it plain to the listeners how the tool could be used and how do you actually implement tools. So, you know, it's nice to have a tool, something, you know, that you can use other than your intuition and the advice of other people on by actually making a list of the pros and cons and applying that list to a formula. Yes, we should go, or no, we should wait a little longer, or no, we should move at all. And we actually have people like Brother Dante and his wife. You know, they are seriously considering the move, and so they called in, and they appreciate the show as well. So, inshallah, we'll get some more people tonight.
When you do stuff in a mathematical and a logical way, you know, for some people that's taking the fun out of life. You know what I mean? They just want to hoof it. They just want to, you know, wake up with an inspiration and then just move out, you know, without weighing stuff and kind of, but, you know, it does, you know, takes a little hard work, get all the information together. But, you know, I don't like negative surprises. Okay. I'd rather not have no surprises than to have a negative one. So I guess I've been a boring person all my life, always dealing with contingencies and having a backup plan in case the first one don't work right. But when you're trying to make serious move in your life, you really need to take some time and think about the ramifications of what you're getting ready to do, how it's going to affect you and others, so that you don't wind up being a burden to yourself or to others.
Yes, sir.
So one thing about farming, you learn that You can get in your own self's way. Okay, you can do things that will cause you a problem. So you don't want to do things that will cause you a problem, because enough problems are going to come up in your life without you doing things that cause you a problem. And unfortunately, many people have done some things that are causing them a problem right now. They've overextended themselves in terms of credit, or they bought something, they paid for it, like a house, but now it's depreciating where it should be appreciating. You go to black neighborhoods, you can usually tell the black neighborhood from a white neighborhood because you look at the roof and the gutters, sometimes the lawn. But the roof and the gutters, you will see that they probably need to fix it, okay? Because they don't have the money for the upkeep. They want to get a fancy house, but they don't have the money for the upkeep. And so now a lot of them are stuck in a home, and they don't want to lose the equity in it. And so, you know, waiting on a high enough buyer, you know, fortunately I don't have that problem, so I really can't talk for them or tell them what to do. But it is a problem with a lot of people. Then other people, they're family members who they don't want to leave. You know, maybe an elderly parent, you don't want to leave them. Maybe some siblings, you don't want to leave them. Maybe your own children. If you're grown enough, got grown children, you don't want to leave them. So, you know, those are attachments that may tie you to a certain location. Of course, the way to solve all that is to get all the whole family to move to one from all over the country, or from where you at now, get the whole family to move to the new location. Of course, if there was an emergency or a war, devastation, that would cause you for the whole family to move. But when you aren't forced to, then you try to figure it out. But the minister said that Allah is going to force us to separate.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, if you look around what's going on in America right now, to give you, strong hints that you need to make a move. Because ain't nothing here for you. I mean, they stole two elections down in Florida. So election in Florida, stole the election in Georgia. Right down racial lines. They're letting you know that no matter what, they're not giving up, this white supremacy thing. So, we're going to have to make a move. For instance, if enough of us flooded Georgia, of course, they already took a million people off the ballots here in Georgia, but if a million or 2 million more people flooded Georgia, we could have control of the state. Unfortunately, we're coming to Georgia, most of them are coming to Atlanta. And we wind up with gridlock and crime in Atlanta that they left in D.C. or New York or Chicago.
Right.
So, but there's other areas outside of the big cities that people need to look into, but they can't do it until they look into it. People should take their vacations to look into an area they might want to move to. So why don't you go and take a vacation in that area that you're thinking about moving to, so you can learn more about it and find you a good situation. Okay? But you can't, you can't buy sight unseen. You can't make big moves like that without you going first and checking things out. That's the way we were taught the Nation of Islam. Islam is mathematics of Islam. But you can't count what you can't see. Okay? You can't get exact facts unless you go check it out.
Yeah, you said something very interesting. I've heard a lot of people allude to it. I was going to ask you about that. You said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said Allah's going to force us to separate. So playing devil's advocate, why would I be interested in, putting myself through the trouble of moving now? Why don't I just wait till Allah makes it known when it's time for us to separate and just ride this out until then?
Well, it just depends. If your area that you are in is good, I mean, if it's all good, I mean, you got a beautiful neighborhood, nice job, enough money to handle the car payments and to fix the cars when they break down and take care of the house, and you got friendly neighbors and you're not too far from the mosque. If you got it like that, yeah, okay, wait until it gets bad, But for those people who don't have it like that, where there, in fact, a lot of negatives, and they don't see if things getting much better, then it would behoove them to look at it, making a move. But if you're in a situation that you're not fooling yourself about, that you are really in a good situation, well, I can't force you to do that, So you just have to wait for the fire. But for the rest of us who don't have perfect situations, we might find a better situation, especially if you're retired. You live in an area that you don't quite like, But if you live in an area that you do like, you're retired, but you can find some people who are more like-minded with you that you would rather be around than the people you're around now, then you still might want to move to another area, but you should be contacting people. You want to move to a bunch of strangers when you know you got friends that y'all might want to make a move together. 4 or 5 friends, retired. Want to make a move together to retire close to one another so they can continue their building in terms of ideas, et cetera. Want to do some investments together. So it's time to meet and greet your brother and sister, find out who they are. You might want to develop some business long-term business relationships, and y'all might want to make a move together. I'm just saying. Not
yes,
saying
sir.
What
yes,
you
sir.
Got to do, but I'm just saying those are possibilities. But the key
yes,
is,
sir.
We are going to be forced sooner or later to separate. And to me, if things ain't that good for you where you're at, go on, do it now before it gets worse. And you might not be able to get out at all.
Yes, and that was part of my motivation, Dr. Ridgely. Before I make this comment, I just want to say to the listeners, if you want to get in on the discussion, or if you have a question you want to ask, or if we said something to spark your interest, go ahead and press that one on your phone, and we'll get you in. Part of my motivation, Dr. Ridgely, is where I was living, even though I was in an area that would be considered a conscious liberal a lot of people like using the word diverse. I don't like using that word, but that's what's labeled. I was in an area like that, but for me, I could not find like minds that wanted to build community, especially around agriculture, my wife and I. And so, you're torn between, okay, should I hang in there? This is the area where, people know me and I know people and, I got roots here. Should I hang in here and try to make a change? Or, should I, would it be futile? Because, life is short. You can spend 20 or 30 years someplace and then look back and say, wow, what have I done? And so part of my motivation was, okay, I actually spent 30 years, as a Muslim in my old home. And I looked back and say, what have I done? And so now I'm like, okay, I have an opportunity to get some near some people, namely you and Sister Ann, who have a common thought that like I have. And so now there's more of a reality, more of a propensity of us being able to do something, because not only are we able to talk, we're actually close to each other and could build. And so that's part of my motivation. And Dr. Richard, we got somebody on the line. Do you want to make your comment, or want to bring this next person on?
No, I was just saying, you usually get smoked out anyway, because they got that smoke over there where you're at now anyway. So.
I hope my wife makes it back okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She's going over on there, but, pray Allah she makes it back.
Inshallah. Caller with the last four digits, 8051. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Brother Aaron, I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida right now.
Well, say it again, brother.
I'm like Aaron.
Aaron, walaikum salam, sir.
Sir, I had a question for Dr. Ridgely. I actually want to know, for example, that us that want to go into agriculture, like, what would be the way that you would recommend one, like, learning on and getting practice in that field and, eventually making it profitable and getting it to the people? Like, what would be your first steps of getting into the process of getting into agriculture?
Okay. Okay, how old are you?
I'm 29. Yes, sir.
There's a four-year college that you can go to. Abraham Baldwin Community Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College. There are community colleges that do have some types of horticulture and stuff like that. But have you ever worked on a farm before?
No, but I have got some education in horticulture, and the basic farming, things of that nature, but never on a farm actually.
Where are you located at physically?
Well, right now I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but I'm originally from Detroit.
Okay, because I'm asking is that maybe you could do some part-time work with a local farmer,
right?
A volunteer to get a feel for what farming is like, because farming is a whole way of life, and now you want to learn how to produce a crop. But the main thing you got to figure out is how to get it sold, because people in America are not hungry. They may be malnourished in terms of nutrients, but in terms of volume, they're fat. So,
right.
And they already got a place where they're getting a lot of that junk at already. So
right.
You need to really find out what products that you think you can get sold and where. That's why I say you need to go and volunteer with a farm, and so you can get the thinking of a farmer. Because,
right.
Most people are not worried about, where they go sell their product at. They're not worried about how much money they got to put into the product and how they'll get that money into the ground and then taking three, 4, 5 months to get your money back. That's a different thing. People are usually getting paid every week. You don't get paid every week in farms. And when you get a farm, it don't mean that you got to eat, that you go eat everything from the land, because it don't come in at all the same time. They don't come in all year round. So you'll still have to buy some food. So you got to have some money. You okay? So these are things that you can learn. I have a book. It's called the Science and Business of Farming versus the Art and Hobby of Gardening. I always tell people, first of all, get that book. You can get it at NOIMOA.com. It's just $25. Okay. NOIMOA.com. You'll see store, and then you'll see that book is one of the books. I would get that book and read it, and then think about what you want to do and see if you can find a farmer close where you can do some work with, even as a volunteer, and then go from there. You know, okay. The way it used to be in the past is that farmers pass it down to the children. People, they're born on the farm, lived on the farm, worked on the farm all their life, and then they either stayed to take the place of their father or they left and went someplace else. But they had that background training. Now we live in the cities, we got no clue of what it's like. So you need to get the book and then go find you some farm that you can go on the weekends or something, just to kick it around with them to help them out so you can see what's happening and talk to them. I mean, farmers, especially if you're a good worker, they'll take the time to talk to you. Matter of fact, you can talk while you work. Ask them a lot of things, and they'll tell you, as long as you ain't wasting their time, you ain't, when you're talking, you know how to work and talk at the same time instead of just sitting your ass on the bucket on the tree and want him to slow down and talk to you. You know,
exactly.
Have appreciation for that person's time and the work that they have to get done, and then they'll help you out. Okay, this is what white kids do. You know,
right?
They just buck up and go and stay on the farm to take a tent if necessary, just to get a feel for what it's like. You know, but we want to carry all our amenities with us. We want to be able to you know, take our Mercedes and Mercedes lifestyle everywhere we go. All right, and not kick back, slow back up a little bit, so you can experience something that's going to be long term. Because you're so busy paying out on the short term. So that would be my advice, my brother.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, that sounds practical. I'm going to take that in consideration. Definitely.
Yes, sir. Farming is very practical. You can't get no more practical than farming. If you ain't practical, farming will kick your butt. All right?
I'm a hard worker. I'm just trying to think about the longevity and the last plan, you know, where I need to be in this whole scheme of things. So.
Well, so take some time to figure that out. Again, you need to go and see what it's like.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because I read an article. I'm not sure if it was from you on the final call. It said it would be that the agriculture people and the farmers that's going to be driving the Lamborghinis, you know, soon. Understand that to say.
No, that was not me. That was not me.
Okay.
Now, let me explain to you about that.
Okay.
The farmers that will be driving the Lamborghinis will be the farmers who sold their farm to the Chinese, not the ones who are actually farming. These are farmers in Iowa and the Midwest who have land. The Chinese are paying $9,000 and $10,000 and up for land. So if they have 200 acres, they have $9,000, yeah, they can buy them a Lamborghini. Okay? That's who's going to get rich, not the ones who are farming, but the farmers who sell the link.
Yes, right. Well, I appreciate it. And what's the name of that first college that you said where they had a 4-year program?
Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton, Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I appreciate the advice, sir.
All right.
Well, thank you for your call, brother Aaron.
Sure, thank you.
And looks like our sister Ann has joined us. Assalamu alaikum, sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. And I would also suggest to that young man, if you can find a female farmer, there are many of them around now, and they would love to have help on their farm. Some have small farms. Mostly, they will have smaller farms, because if they had a real large farm and the man has passed on or whatever, more than likely they will sell it. But I know in Georgia, as a matter of fact, I have a women's farm group here, and I came in contact with lots of women farmers. And I can tell you from experience that they would love to have someone to come in and just offer some assistance to them in doing certain things on their farm. And the good thing about that is they will feed you. So you can work and probably get a good meal right from the farm. So, yes, I think volunteering is a good thing. It's an excellent way to learn, get that experience. But getting back to the mathematics of movement, I have to agree, as a people, I have noticed that, you know, we are very, very skeptical of making long-term plans. And I know there used to be a common saying among Black people here in the South, well, tomorrow's not promised to you. Well, that's true, but you still have to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And just the other day, I was watching a news broadcast. You know, Dr. Ridgely was saying that, you know, people have extended themselves financially to the point where, you know, they've got to do a lot of restructuring right now in order to be able to even consider a move. But I was watching the news the other day. They have a new Monopoly game that's coming out, and it's catered towards the millennials, because what they are seeing is that they are not wanting to be tied down with a mortgage.
Mm.
They would rather use their monies to go and tour the world, not have any strings attached if they want to get up and move somewhere. And they are the ones that's spurring this tiny house movement where they can just have a little like studio apartment on wheels that they can just move it wherever they want to. So there's a different mindset coming on the scene today as to what the future is going to look like as far as community and so forth. But we, in the Nation of Islam, we need to have a vision of what we want our communities to be. I have one, and I would say that the ones of us down here in Georgia near the farm, Brother Carlton and his family and myself and Dr. Ridgely, we have a vision. I envision a community that is so peaceful that you will know that you are experiencing heaven on earth. And that is possible. But I think what happens with us, or what is happening with so many of us, especially in larger cities, we're so bombarded with so much negative all the time, so many negative vibrations, that it's hard for you to even sit down and just think about a new reality. You want it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have time to really just sit down and envision it, put some thoughts down on paper. And that's key, too. And that's why you and your wife developed the manual, because it's critical that we begin to put some things down on paper and go back and revisit it. And I will say this on that. I started keeping journals several years ago. I kind of got away from it a little bit. But I can go back right now and read some of the notes in some of my journals, maybe
mm-hmm.
from 10, 20 years ago, and see whether or not I have kept to a path to get to a point that I'm trying to achieve. And it makes you feel good when you pick one up and you read what your plans were going to be for the future, and then you see where you are. And it gives you a kind of feeling of satisfaction to know that, hey, I did get a long way in my goals. So, you know, we have to, as a people, begin to use strategies like that and not just, you know, fly by the seat of our pants all the time. Let tomorrow take care of itself. You know, in a way that's good, but, you know, it's just not very practical.
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Anne, if I can interrupt you for a moment, we have a caller. Can we go ahead and let the caller in?
Yes, sir.
Caller with the last four digits, 1502. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Dwayne Adex from Peoria, Illinois.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Dwayne.
Oh, alaikum salam, bro. Thank you, brother. I have a few questions, but I'm just going to limit it to just a couple of them. I've been doing this research on the black farmers, and the research that I keep pulling up is so negative on the black farmer. And one of them is that they were saying like between 70% to 80% of them, their net earnings is less than $10,000 a year. You know, that to me is not very attractive, but that was also on the USDA website. So I just wanted to know, are those numbers around true? And is there any like black farmer associations that I could be, you know, looking into or even trying to join?
Okay, I'm going to see if I can find a number here without hanging up on you. Of the Black Farmers and Agricultural Economics Association, the office for that in Tillery, North Carolina. So just a second, I'm coming up on it. All right, okay, name is Gary Grant. And he's the president of the Black Farmers and Agriculture Association. I'm the vice president, but he's out of Tillery, North Carolina. And his office number is 252-826-3017.
Okay.
Now, in terms of, you also can go to BFAAUS.com, BFAAUS.com.
Okay.
Or just put it in a Google search to make sure we got it right. But they have website as well. The information about the low net income or profit of small farms is correct. It's very little. Most black farmers make their money from their Social Security or their job or their retirement. Most of the big farmers make their money from the U.S., from the government, from your paycheck. It's called taxes. They get subsidies. That's how they stay in business. The black farmers are not able to get the subsidies. That's why they fell out of business. There are no markets. The black farmers used to have markets, okay?
Yeah.
Black folks used to cook. Then we used to have restaurants and hotels and schools. But integration wiped all that out, so we got nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to McDonald's or Golden Corral, and they don't buy from the black farmers. So the black farmers do not have a market. The commodities, cotton, corn, peanuts, soybean, wheat, the prices are so low that, you know, you can't make any money. And people do not understand how low the prices are because they have no idea. Just like a bushel of wheat, which is 56 pounds, all right? The farmer gets $4 for it, all right? That 56 pounds can make you 40, 50 loaves of bread that you're paying $2 and $3 for. So if you're paying $3 for a loaf of bread, whole wheat bread, that's $120, but the farmer will get the $4 out of that. All right?
Yeah.
All right? So he gets cents. I mean, divide 56 into $4. You got a calculator?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm on the phone.
Can you get
here,
your calculator? Huh?
$4 here.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
That's a penny. That's about 8 cents.
That's 8 cents a pound. All right? So that means the 5 pounds is how much is that? 40 cents?
Wow.
Huh?
All yes,
right, 5 pounds is 40 cents. How much is 5 pounds of flour, whole wheat flour, cost in the store? $4?
Probably about six. Yeah, about $5, $6.
Huh?
I was thinking about
five, right?
$6. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's just say it costs $4. The store, at the store, you get $4 for flour. The farmer gets 8 cents for the wheat that's ground into that flour. He get 8 cents. I mean, he get 40 cents for the 5 pounds. He get 40 cents for the 5 pounds, and the store get $4 for the flour. This is why we have a flour mill. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan agreed for us to get a flour mill at the farm, so we turn all our seed that we don't replant, that we're getting ready to start replanting right now, we turn the rest of it into flour and cream of whole wheat. And then my wife takes the cream of whole wheat and the flour and makes a muffin mix.
Yes,
that's where you make the money, because the wheat prices have gone down to as low as $1.75 down here. Per 56 pounds. So there's been a war going on against the small farmer, in particular the black farmer. And it's your tax monies that's been used to perpetrate this war by giving the white farmers. There's one white farmer down here, and over a 17-year period, he owns two farms. He got $6.5 million. Okay?
Yes, sir.
That's from the government. So that's how the big white farmers stay in business. The government subsidizes it. But the black farmers don't get it. Even when you get it, like we got some here at the farm, and they put it all across the board, all over the world, that the Farrakhan was milking the government, because we were getting the money that all the white farmers got. All of a sudden, it's milk. For them, it's okay. But when we applied and got the money, it was milking the government. So we gave the money back. So, as a black farmer, you're going into business, you're going into war, until you find some customers. Black folks ain't cooking. Women think you're talking ugly to them about talking about they should go back in the kitchen. All right?
Mm-hmm. Listen.
They want to eat out. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, sir.
That's the reality, bro. Yeah, the figures are right. There ain't no money. I know. I'm down here. I did the math. And I done the math. Ain't no money. The fixed attractor is $125 an hour. $125 an hour, and the parts costs are ridiculous. Okay?
Yes, sir.
It's war, and we playing games with this cracker. If we
well,
got to make the decision, what we're going to do.
Well, I know I live in a city, and I live in a city where they've already taken away grocery stores and everything. I mean, we have to really go to the white side of town if we're going to eat any or go to any kind of grocery store. So, you know,
that's your fault.
That's our farm. We shall be prepared for the black farmer.
How many fast food restaurants y'all got around y'all?
Too many.
Okay. As I said, you know, you're snug as the fat bug in the rug. you're in the black community when you see a church's chicken. You know you're in the black community. I don't know about up there, but, you know, church's chicken, you know you're in the black community down south. You got McDonald's, you got Church's Chicken, you got Burger King, you got Wendy's, you got Bojangles, you got, even down south, little small towns, you got all these fast food restaurants lined up inside the damn street. Ain't nobody cooking. I did an analysis where I watched and counted the customers going to the McDonald's right across the street from a big Piggly Wiggly in Dawson, Georgia. And whereas 53 people went into McDonald's in a half hour period, only 23 went into the grocery store. And this is right across the street from each other. Okay? Ain't nobody cooking. Don't want to cook. Even when they go in the grocery store. The majority of the grocery store is processed food. Next time you go to the grocery store, count the number of rows where you have fresh vegetables, and then count the number of rows where you got everything else that's made from vegetables, canned, frozen, entrees. You can even get you some frozen ham and cheese sandwiches. Frozen ham and cheese sandwich. Now, how sorry can you be? How sorry can you be to buy a frozen ham and cheese sandwich? That's sorry. But that's real. So, until we set up restaurants or we get people back in the kitchen, we have a hard time selling food until people start dropping dead. I just see now, they tell you you can't eat your damn turkey and you can't eat your romaine lettuce. Throw the romaine lettuce out, they say. Just throw it out. This is today on CBS.
Yeah, they've been blowing Facebook up with that.
I mean, you know, hey, you got industrialized agriculture with people who all that they care about is profits, and they're using waste from feedlot operations and putting it right on to the lettuce. They're supposed to wash it off, but the machine breaks down. They don't wash it good enough. It's going through, baby. So it's organic, all right. You got some organisms.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Richard.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call, Brother Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
And we have another caller. Caller with the last four digits. 7115. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sister Lucille. I'm calling from St. Louis. And I've been listening to you when I can get on Tuesday. And I just wanted to throw some ideas out. I don't know if, you know, these have been explored or not, but some of the things that I think about when about the Exodus, you know, is having our own financial institution. I worked in a corporate credit union for about 13 years, so I know that you don't have all of the red tape that you get with a bank if we open up our own credit union. Most checks are direct deposited. It's really not a high maintenance to have one because everything is pretty much electronically going in and out. Well, you do have to have an auditor, you know, and you do have to have a few people working in the main terminal to make, you know, to keep everything legit and make sure that, you know, we know how much money we're bringing in, how much we're going we're taking out, then we can start making our own loans and reinvest back into our own self. I thought about that. And what about our own money? I was listening to Brother Ishmael one Sunday. This was at the Believers meeting, I believe. And he kept stressing about we are a sovereign nation. And he would go on and talk about the other sovereign nations that were operating independently, and they wasn't as wealthy as we are. I guess to get our people minds into us and take it out of other people's, you know, vision to let them know we are rich within ourselves. And then once we come in and start investing in our own communities and self, we don't have to worry about the red tape anymore. You understand what I'm saying? And then I heard Dr. Wrigley talking about, you know, the farmer's not making much money, but if the farmer farmed and you had other investors who opened up the stores, because really a store is just a wholesale shelf, and so people pay for those products to go on those shelves, and that's where the money comes in. Well, we can set up one of those, set those up as well, and make the money we invest back to the black farmer. And let me see what else I say. Another thing, Dr. Wrigley was talking about people not cooking anymore. And I do understand there's restaurants everywhere. But Dr. Wrigley, when I travel, I steam me some broccoli and I put it in one of the mason jars, I canning jars. If I want meat, whatever, I put it in a canning jar and I take my food with me. So I never have to worry about what am I going to eat on. I don't like fish and they ain't got nothing but fried food, or they have pork in the store. So, I mean, that's an easy travel method. And it keeps your food fresh until you get where you're going, you know, to heat it up. So those are some of the things that I thought about. But I don't know how. I thought about maybe we should start, you know, maybe speaking to other third world countries, you know, just asking, well, how did you get started and how did the money come into play? You know, we need our own money. Once we get rid of that white face off of our money, we will be free.
Okay, so let's start off at the top. The first one you said is a credit union.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Move to Broadwood or move to Detroit. You know, the minister is pointing out Detroit being a place that we're trying to move, and we're trying to get people to come down here to Broadwood. And so you move here to Broadwood, or you move to Detroit, and y'all set up a credit union. You know how to do it. You work the one. You know how to do it. Get together with some people up there and set your credit union up. Okay? So that's that. That's it. That's all. You're gonna set one up, all right? Now, in terms of what was the other thing you said, idea?
About our own money. How do we, as a sovereign nation, create our own money?
No problem. Just get you some paper, cut it up, get you a stamp, a rubber stamp with some ink, and stamp whatever amount of money you want to put on it. Just a piece of paper, and you say $50. And then what you can do is that you take that $50, and you ask somebody if they would give you a product that they have. Maybe to cut your grass, or, you know, they may have some food. And if they would accept that piece of paper, the IOU, that's all it is, money in the IOU, and they would accept that, and then they can take that IOU, and then if somebody else would accept that same $50 IOU, then they can buy something with it. So it's nothing but an IOU. The people trust that when they take it to somebody who has something they want, they will accept it.
Uh-huh.
It's just a matter of accepting your own and being yourself. But on the dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." And the white man is the God the white folks, the black folks trust.
Yes, sir. Well, that's
so
all we have at this point.
And that's what's keeping him afloat. We still trust him. So, again, what is our unity is the most powerful than an atomic bomb. And that's why the white man keeps us from developing unity, because that will solve all of our problems. But that's the hardest one to solve. is to get us on the same page. That's why we're saying we need to separate, because you're not going to be able to set up no credit union amongst a bunch of niggas. I'm sorry. That's the white man made niggas. Niggas hate niggas and love the white man. You ain't going to be able to set up no credit union with a white man's niggas. You're going to have to be in a community with black folks who trust you and who trust each other and have a vision. Other than that, you ain't going to be doing nothing in terms of money. Because it's nothing but trust. That's all money is. It's an IOU.
What I would like to offer is, can you hear me, Brother Carlson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what I would like, Sister, what's your name again?
Lucille.
Sister Lucille, and you're from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, that's right. Well, we have this platform, and we have, at last count, I think Sister Majita was saying, we have over 400 members who've joined Time to Lead. Why don't we schedule you, sister, for one of our Tuesday night programs to talk about credit unions, how they are started, and what the requirements are, and to see if people who are listening may be interested in trying to do what you are suggesting. Come back to us and let us know what are the steps to doing this.
Yes,
what do we
ma'am.
Need to do as a group to start
yes,
a
ma'am.
Credit union?
Yes, ma'am.
We have this 400 and some odd people who are members of this Time to Lead movement, so maybe that could be a start. And then the actual headquarters could be anywhere. But
right,
getting
right.
started is what we need to do. So that's what I would suggest. So does that sound like something you could do or would be interested in?
Yes, ma'am. I would most definitely research it and come, with the step-by-step. Now, it's been a couple of years since I did go in and find out. It took about $375,000, and that's just, That's just money to back, back you. And $345,000. And the reason I became so keen on this, I remember when Sister Sandy asked us to raise some money for Minister Farrakhan for his birthday, and we were able to do $500,000. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So just think, if we wanted this financial institution, that it would, assist us with our everyday life and struggles. People could come get loans for cars and don't have to pay that, all that overhead, or they want to buy a house. The money really recycles itself.
Right. Well, see, that's what we want you to do. One of our Tuesday night shows talking about just what you are saying now. And what we can do is promote that. Brother Carlton, will you get her information or do I need to?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If you can send me an email.
Okay, may I have your email address?
Yes, ma'am. It's Carlton, carlton@timetoleave.us. It's just like the website, timetoleave.us.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because I think that's an excellent idea. And we may have people who can start now to trying to get that together, because one of the things this group has been talking about is trying to start some kind of investment group. And this could be it, don't you think, Brother Carlson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Sister Lucille, we certainly appreciate that information, and I would definitely look forward to having you to come on after you and Brother Carlton talk and try to schedule a show so that we can hear more about this. And also, we'll publicize it, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people who want to hear this.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And can I share one other thing with you? And this is a lie, believe me, when I tell you, because I haven't been to any of their fine institutions, okay? A lot sends me where he pleases, and I go in, and I learn from my people. Well, while working in that financial institution, it was times, and I heard Dr. Wrigley speaking about how we, well, blacks were paying like anywhere from 18 to 10% interest on homes. Well, one thing happened when the Republicans went in office, the interest rates dropped. I was like Henny the Penny trying to tell just people in our city, in the mosque, in the MVP, about how to refinance those homes. And they could save themselves like $300 or $400 a month. The reality just would never see. Don't understand. Come to me. I'll walk you through how to streamline their loans and get out of those high interest rates. Because most black people had their houses, had equity in their homes. Even though the stop, you know, things dropped, those people had their homes long before all of that happened. So they still had equity in their homes. The only one lost was the people who started buying 2006 on. They lost all the equity. I'm living in a house, an upside down house myself. I wanted to get rid of it, but me and my daughter bought it. She don't want to leave, so I couldn't leave her hanging out. But I did refinance another home that I had. I mean, I was just like Henny the Penny, but our people, even in the mosque, I ain't talking about outside people. They are just, it's like falling on deaf ears. I don't know. They just glad to hear the minister say his lecture, and then they light it down away. They, you know, it's, they still have that mystery God mentality. They really think that somebody else is going to come and make it better. And all we got to do is hang on.
Well, sister, we are so glad that you called in to share that information, and I look forward to getting your email. We're down to the last minute and 30 seconds. So, Sister Lucille, please send me that email, and you can also get our information at timetoleave.us. That's the website, timetoleave.us. And Sister Ann, Dr. Ridgely, did you have any closing comments?
Well, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that have been said earlier, getting back to farming. Now, Dr. Ridgely mentioned the industrial farms and the techniques they use to get their big crops out into the market before the little small farmer. But they're cutting a lot of corners and having to do all of these recalls. And because of that, there is a movement on that many people are now looking for the small farmer. But the problem is going to be, are they going to be willing to pay for what they know they're getting, which is quality?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who are doing that, and we've got a big education project to get our people to understand that it's going to cost a little more to get the best. And you're going to have to be willing to pay it because food is your lifeline. So I just wanted to say that. And also, for the young brothers who are thinking about farming, I would suggest looking into trying to specialize in something. The thing that's going now is the Mediterranean-type diet. They have learned in the last couple of years that the way people in this country eat is killing them. So you've got a strong movement now of people trying to eat better, and we have to sort of educate our people to that and be able to service them once we educate them.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much, Sister Ann, and you all heard it. This is the place where you can come get that information, and please stay plugged in. We want to thank Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, our regular panelists, for coming into the show and sharing experience. And we want to thank you, our callers, who call in every week and ask questions. So please tune in next week for our next Time to Leave show. And until then, may Allah bless you all with a blessed week. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
salam. Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you? Make me
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
Game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history.